Welcome back to the Slice of Anime Life podcast, episode 5. We have a lot today. We're going to focus on One Piece. We're going to talk about power and who's the strongest. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the One Piece live action in which Dallas has actually finished. So again, let us know how you thought about it the last couple episodes.
Yeah, so kind of talking to you guys about where I was specifically the last time you talked or you heard from us. It was actually probably about a week and a half ago. We've kind of been a little behind on getting these episodes out. But from now on, we're going to try to get these episodes out every Thursday from now on, which is kind of our plan from the get-go. But with school starting, me and my brother are both teachers. We're both kind of getting ready for the school year. And on top of that, comes with a lot of busyness. So
the school year can be really busy. And we're going to still try to bring these podcasts each week to you. Probably record them mostly on Thursdays, put them out on Friday mornings, Friday afternoons, and hopefully those who are avid listeners and want to listen every week will get the podcast fix each week with us.
Yeah, so kind of going back to the live action, just a couple things. Really, really enjoy the live action. I'm completely finished, completely caught up, ready for the second season, and I'm really excited for the second season itself. Where we last talked about a week and a half ago, or maybe even longer, I can't remember the exact date when we released the last one. But thinking of that, the last thing we talked about specifically was the Sir Village arc. That was the last thing we talked about. So since then, I've watched the last 4 episodes. I've watched the 2 episodes at the Baratie, or you could say Arlong Park. Both of those episodes, or Arlong Park is, I guess, technically the last 2. So those 4 episodes all kind of consist of those 2 areas. Okay, we're talking about meeting Sanji for the first time.
And how'd you like Sanji? I think
I like Sanji.
I really like Sanji a lot. Actor.
I like Sanji a lot. I think it's really great. I really like his actor too. I'm really excited to see more from him. Yeah, he's great. I really liked how they did his character. I loved how they made him maybe not as crazy,
cringy
as Sanji in the anime. Like, trust me, I like Sanji in the anime. He's not my favorite character, but he can get a little bit cringy. We talked with our friend Gabe a couple weeks ago on the podcast, and he was one of his least favorite just because of the antics, the nosebleeds, the heart eyes, those things, you know. But I really like the live-action version. I think that he does a very good job. He gives justice to the character and how the character's played. He does very good at it.
And what's awesome, too, and I'm going to share this with our audience and some other things, too, is that he, the actor who plays Sanji, learned how to cook for the show, which was awesome. So not only was he able to perform very well as Sanji, but he was able to learn how to cook, which I think they did an interview, and it actually changed his life. Like, he now is able to make meals. He's now able to eat healthier, and he's doing a lot better for himself. And if you're playing Sanji, you're doing a lot of cardio. You're working on leg kicks. Like, he is in a very good shape because he got this role. So, again, super happy for him. I wish I could meet him in person. But
I think one thing for sure I could take away from the Baratie episodes, so the 2 episodes, one thing, like I said a few episodes back of the podcast, I really liked the moment in which Shanks and Luffy had their moment backstory. I also really liked the moment where Sanji had his backstory with Blackleg specifically, yeah, and how he ate his own leg and stuff, and kind of thinking it from that perspective of seeing it with humans involved in the story, I think or the live action version of it, kind of brought it full circle to how much this guy actually did, you know, like, it's basically word for word, verbatim, almost just like what the anime was. You know, they each have their own sack of food and whatever. But just crazy that he went that length, 30 days or whatever it was, without food.
I think
whatever.
He
ate his leg.
I think that also was a perfect casting.
Oh, yeah. Both of them were amazing castings. I thought he was perfect casting. Some of the things that I thought were a little bit strange, I think I actually like it now looking back. But obviously, Garp going to the Baratie, all of these things that kind of didn't really happen in the anime. We've talked about this before. Okay, obviously Arlong coming to the Baratie and fighting them at the
Baratie.
It did
feel as though so much was going on in the Baratie. Yeah. Which, again, if that had happened in the anime, it probably would have been great. It's just, it's something that you're not ready for as a One Piece watcher if you're watching the anime or maybe reading the manga. And again, if I'm wrong on this, you know, sue me, but I don't think that anything was different between the anime and the manga. It's possible that the manga shares a little bit more or is more in depth. And of course, many manga readers would say it's better than the anime.
There's some differences, I think. There was a couple things I looked up recently where the manga is a little bit different. And they add a couple things, but for the most part, it's pretty similar. But like the part where Arlong in the live action goes to find Luffy and fights Luffy there, like that never happens specifically in the anime. Mihawk specifically fighting outside of the Baratie, I don't believe was a thing. They were fighting after the battle with Don Krieg. Yeah. Luffy doesn't actually fight Don Krieg in the live action. Mihawk fights him, which I think Mihawk and Don Krieg do have an altercation in the anime, but not nearly as like what they portray.
Mihawk destroys his entire fleet. Remember? Yeah. He comes in, he's wanting food so badly, he's on his last leg, and they're like, we need to feed Don Krieg. And they, again, Sanji says, I'm not going to let this man starve, I'm going to give him some food.
Right.
And then Don Krieg's basically like, well, screw you, thank you for giving me the food, you just replenished my hunger, and now I'm going to ransack your entire Baratie and destroy everything. And Mihawk just comes along and wipes his entire fleet out in a couple swoops, and then has his whole altercation with Zoro and
And with Nami specifically in the anime. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but in the anime she leaves. You know, they give her the option, right, to leave on the ship to go to this island to give them the map. I believe in the anime that she does do this. She runs away from Luffy that way.
Yeah,
she doesn't just say no to the boat ride and comes back to Luffy just for Arlong to get there and then prove his. I think it's just all part of the marketing plan of Netflix to be like, we want it to be like a bunch of other movies where they're suspected to leave their MC or their main character, you know, Luffy. Nami's supposed to leave him, right, on a ship or on a boat. Last minute, she has a change of heart, kind of like a lot of different movies, you know, and she does what's best for Luffy. She doesn't want Luffy to get hurt, okay? They're trying to, like, play that card, you know, where Arlong shows up, she wants to protect the rest of her crew, so she does the hard thing. But she was going to do it anyways because she wanted to save her village.
Well, can I add something, too? They might also be wanting to protect the likeness of Nami. They want the audience to like her. They want the audience to think of her in a better way than maybe the audience would have seen Nami in the anime. Of course, in the anime, it looks as though she really screwed them over and wanted nothing to do with them until you get later, farther down the road. But in the live action, they want viewers to look at Nami and say, you know, she might not be perfect, but she still is a human being, and she can make choices. And they probably just want you to make sure that you like her throughout the entire series or show.
Another thing, too, that I'll talk about, going a little bit into Arlong Park now. I really liked the Arlong Park arc. Okay, I really liked the backstory for Nami. That was great. I liked specifically Luffy and the crew coming to the village and coming to Arlong Park, and specifically the fight scenes were good. I liked the battle between Luffy and Arlong. I thought it was pretty similar to the anime, in which he maybe didn't have the strength at that time to beat him. Obviously, if Luffy now, Luffy Gear 5, would destroy Arlong in 2 seconds, but we're talking about Luffy in the sense when he was still young in his career as a pirate. You know, he maybe had a small bounty at this point, one of the biggest bounties, I guess, in the East Blue, right, after he defeats the Black Cat Pirates captain, and specifically... Cool. What's that?
Kuro.
Right? Kuro. Yeah, exactly. Kuro, and after that, right? Buggy, and so forth.
I also want to say, too, that I really think they could have maybe made Arlong a little bit better in the live action. Yeah. I think that his actor did a great job with what was given to him, because Arlong is supposed to be, I think, a little extra menacing. In the anime, he's like tall. Double the height.
He's tall, Luffy. Lengthy. Yeah, I didn't like Luffy was almost, I think he was even taller. Luffy had, in some shots were actually taller than Arlong. Without the hat, it was like either same, like Nami was almost as tall as Arlong in some of the shots too. Maybe not like that tall, but it was only like a few 6 inches difference maybe.
And
we're talking about like foot's difference in the anime.
And here's the thing. I'm not saying that they should have gone out and gotten the mountain from Game of Thrones to play Arlong. I'm not saying that at all, but maybe it would have been nice to maybe have some way of Arlong looking larger or a taller person. Again, the actor does a great job.
I will say this, and maybe some people will not like this take, but I don't see anything wrong with them doing just CGI for the Fishman characters. I don't see anything wrong. CGI is going really well. The voice actor is still going to get their credit. I get that they really wanted to have a human aspect, but what's wrong with doing CGI for the Fishmen? I don't understand why that wouldn't be.
I think that issue. It depends on how well they make it look, because they do make the CGI for Luffy's stretches and abilities look really great.
Right, yeah.
But sometimes it comes down to, one, how much are you willing to spend? Because to make those CGI fishmen, it's going to be really expensive, millions of dollars probably. And they know that these actors are quality. Like, the guy who does Arlong's no joke. He does a good job.
Yeah, he does good.
Like, he's not bad. He's a good
job. I think it's just the physical appearance of him. He has some moments where I feel like he's just not as menacing, like you said. He has some moments where I think he is pretty menacing, but he's not as tall. He's not as lengthy. You know, you don't see maybe the full power you could see in the anime.
They maybe could have done, considering Harry Potter did this back in the first movie and in a lot of movies with Hagrid, they could have made it to where Arlong at least looked bigger. Maybe they could have had a chance to,
from
far away scenes, or have the camera angles different, or maybe have another actor fill in certain points, like maybe have the mountain there, but he doesn't speak.
You can't tell me that there wasn't a way they could have at least enlarged his physical appearance on the
screen. There probably was. They just...
That probably wasn't that time-consuming, or probably wasn't that, like, didn't need a lot of money to fund, you know?
Yeah.
Ultimately, I liked Arlong Park. I thought that specifically that was one of my biggest gripes, you could say. It was the size difference of some of the fishmen. I kind of was thinking, like I said, I would have maybe preferred CGI, or I would have liked to have seen what CGI would have looked like, and maybe I would have even preferred it. I can't remember if in the anime was the whole purpose of Arlong in the anime was for fishmen to kind of be superior over humans. Was it that big of an issue? Like, I don't know if there's like a... From my perspective, I haven't seen that arc in a long time, in the anime especially, and I thought maybe they were trying to push, like, I wouldn't say a narrative in any way of, like, superiority or...
Oh, yeah. I mean, fishmen were seen as a low life form, basically.
Right. Okay.
Like, yeah, there was those, like...
I just didn't know if they were pushing it extra because it was on Netflix, or if that was something that really
the anime. All I think is that
obviously they were not treated fairly, but we don't see the full backstory.
All I think is that Netflix, the one thing I do love about Netflix, and this is also a heavy take because I feel like some people are supportive of this, some people aren't, is that Netflix does a good job of just hiring the best actors.
Yeah.
The Arlong actor might not have been perfect for the role, but what I will say is this. Some people are going to be upset that they had people like Nami's sister.
I know, there was a lot of people online.
Yes, there was a lot of people online who were upset because Nami's sister, who is in the anime a white complexion character.
Right.
And in the live action, she's played by a black woman. Which, again, a lot of people have gripe with it. In my eyes, I don't see a big deal because, one, I don't know if they were even... sisters by blood or not.
They weren't.
I don't think they were either sisters by blood.
Yeah, they weren't.
And it doesn't need to be that accurate if the actor is doing a great job. Right. I thought that was good. And same thing with Vivi for the next season. She's apparently supposed to be
Arabic
of a different race.
Something like that.
Yeah, the actor might be...
But honestly, what people were saying and what I agree with is she's from a place like Alabasta. You know, to be there, most likely you're not going to be as pale as Vivi was really in the anime. So I understand that. And I understand the, like you said, finding the best actors. It doesn't specifically mean whatever race they are. And I don't mind at all really about Nami's
race
sister.
Switching?
Well, I don't mind it. You know, like with Nami's sister specifically, you know, like it's an adoptive sister.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I get it that people who are very, very... Like, they love the anime, you know, people were saying it about Scooby-Doo, the new one on HBO Max, you know, it's kind of... this thing about how there's, I don't know, diversity. Yeah, and that's okay. And same with Nami's sister. It's an adoptive sister for one, and people were being too over the top about it, in my opinion.
I think people were just being sensitive and thinking, oh my God, you're changing so much, when in reality it's such a small detail.
It's very that small.
Anyone with you know, any compassion would realize, okay, they picked a really good actor for the role. She did a great job.
She did an amazing job. I actually really liked her. Honestly, I thought she was a great job.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, the first, second...
Didn't she also have an accent, too?
She did have
an accent. So it wasn't just... It was a little more. It wasn't just that they race switched. Like, she had an accent and everything. And to be honest, that's okay. They gave Garp an accent in the live action. They are giving people opportunities who are good actors. Of course, Garp does not have an accent.
The diversity there is good. It's not a bad thing whatsoever. You know, yeah. I think it's a really good thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, when I first watched it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's her sister. But you have to kind of think about it in that perspective. Okay, it's going to be different from the anime. You know, the anime doesn't have a ton of diversity. It has some, but it's not Oda's fault. It's
it
not
eventually
like he was trying.
Has more.
Yeah, it definitely has more. You know, you have, obviously, you have Usopp. You have Marshall D. Teach. Obviously,
eventually,
I don't know
you have,
if he's that diverse.
And
but
eventually,
you have some,
well, I'm saying eventually you have, like, Ivankov and
Clay
and...
Perfect. Perfect examples.
Some of these other characters who definitely look a little bit different. And, I mean, eventually you have characters that are... Like, he kind of gets away from humans and just starts going full-fledged into, like, animal characters and sidekicks and a whole group of...
a zombie tree.
Zombie tree and zombie unicorn. Like, Oda is just a wonderful human being, and he's made some great characters. And I don't think... Last thing I'll say about this is I don't think that just because they switched a race of a character makes it any less of a good show.
No.
And so I think people are just...
they want to complain about
anything,
and it gets a little annoying.
I just wanted to see what you thought.
I mean, I get it. Some of my gripes could be, like, those small things, like, oh, you want it to be like the anime. That's not anything. Like, I actually really liked the casting choices of all of that. I think that was great.
Real quick, I do have one more question. How did you feel about the Nami and Luffy scene? And without spoiling too much for our audience, like, I think you
with
know what
hat.
I'm talking about. Yes.
Yes. I thought that scene was awesome. I really liked that scene a lot. It was, I mean, it reminded me so much of what the anime,
almost
the
exact same.
So I thought it was really good.
I feel like the anime maybe had a little more emotion, but I think it was still amazing to see it in live action. And like, Nami's, I mean, she is just... The live action.
She's my favorite.
She was
maybe other than Luffy.
In that scene.
She
was better than Luffy in that scene.
I think
though,
so
for
too.
Sure.
She's like my favorite or second favorite of the live action people. She's that good to me. Like, she does an amazing job.
Rudd.
Going into something a little bit different. That's kind of what I'm taking away from the live action. I'm really excited to be watching have watched the live action.
And you will be watching season 2.
We'll be watching season 2, and we'll be updating every episode. We're gonna specifically watch, review, and do on the podcast when we get there. From now till the season 2 comes out, we got time. We'll do some other reviews and stuff of other shows, movies, and whatnot the next few weeks, but
hopefully a Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, once the live action comes out, season 2, we will definitely be reviewing and talking about it on the podcast whenever, every weekly when we do the podcast.
Cool.
My last question before we get into the strength thing we're going to be talking about is... I sent you a video. Did you watch the video?
No,
of Oda?
But I mean, I can. You can elaborate a little bit, or maybe I've seen it already.
There was a video where Oda sits down with Inaki.
I've seen it.
Okay.
Yeah,
what did you think specifically about that video and him actually learning
Japanese?
Yeah,
he learned
Japanese.
Yes, he learned Japanese to not just to speak with Oda, but to go to. He did some events in Japan.
I mean,
it was really interesting because Oda looked at him, and of course, I think they had his face blocked out or something, and. But he looks at Inaki and says, "You're Luffy. Like, you are him." And, of course, I think that got Inaki a little emotional. And it was a very sweet moment because he maybe didn't know about Luffy his entire life. But since becoming Luffy and now playing this part for what feels like a long time... He feels so connected to the character, studied up a lot, and for Oda to sit there and say, "You are Luffy, you're a great representation, and I'm so glad that you took this chance with us," like, man, I was super excited. And again, Oda has his hands in the Netflix. That does not mean he makes all the decisions. I'm sure there are plenty of things the Netflix show has done that Oda's not the biggest fan of, but again, if Oda can sit there and give give Inyaki a Luffy hat and say, you are Luffy,
yeah,
then that is so amazing. And for him to speak with Oda in Japanese, just a life dream.
It shows how caring, I guess, he is to the people that gave him his shot, you know? I don't know if he would have been really given a major shot without this opportunity. Like, who knows what he can do after this fact, but the fact that he's going out of his way to learn the language of the creator of the show that he's a part of. Well, maybe not the actual creator of the live action itself, but he's backed the live action. He created the actual manga, the anime, and so
forth. He is the person.
He's the person who created Luffy, the character. So, yeah. You know, you're playing a character created by this person, and you want to kind of be that person to them.
It's almost surreal, you know, like, to see somebody you know of that has created something so special. Like, you always think about certain voice actors. If I were to go to a Comic-Con and I'd see, right, you know, some of my favorite voice actors, maybe the VA for Luffy or even for Zoro, all these characters that you know and love, and you see them in person, and it's like, wow. You don't look anything like the character, but you put your heart and soul into that character. And now, whenever I see Zoro, I can't help but not think, right, about Chris.
Right.
Sabat. Like, I cannot not think about him.
Kind of
for the English. I've seen both English, right, dub and sub for One Piece, but if I'm thinking about English One Piece and I maybe saw Zoro, I can't help but hear his voice,
right,
of Christopher Sabat.
I kind of think of, like, even back to kind of going off topic of anime, but like Andrew Garfield, when he first got introduced at Spider-Man, you know, he was so proud. Like, he wanted that role for such a long time, finally deserved it. You know, he had to fill the shoes of a character like Tobey Maguire. And you think of Inyaki, he has to come and fill the shoes of the original voice actor for the Japanese and the English anime.
And fill in the shoes for Oda and make it presentable. You know, so, Oda's got to approve for the most part, like, hey, yeah, I like this guy or I don't. And right, that's a lot of pressure on a young kid who had, I looked at what he had done. He hadn't had that many movies. He hadn't had that many opportunities, even in English. A lot of his stuff was in Spanish or Portuguese. I can't remember exactly which. But it was, he had opportunities, but not in the limelight on a Netflix show in English, which is his second language. Like, it's a lot
with
for
a $200 million budget.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. And you know, I'll sit here and say I love Luffy, I love Inyaki, I love what he's done. I'll be honest, he's not perfect. There are things that I wish he could do differently.
Sure.
But the thing I will say is he's not a perfect actor, but he's a perfect Luffy.
Mm-hmm. Okay? I agree.
That's just what I will say about it. I don't think I could do any better. Obviously, he's a perfect fit for him. But, you know, that's just how I feel.
You think about that with any kind of actor. You know, there's actors that I love. You know, maybe they weren't the best actor in the world. Think about some of my favorite shows, Supernatural, The 100, some other shows that aren't anime. You know, some of these actors are not the best actors. You know, like, I think, I don't know, for example, Clark from The 100. She's not that great of an actor. You know, that might be a hot take. She's not that good of an actor. She's really not, but she's a really great character. She plays her role well. And you think about it in the same way with live action. Yeah, they have an animation they have to follow, but they're at least using that to kind of build their character into something that is real life, a human, yeah, acting the same way. Let's move on to our last segment today. It's going to be a little bit shorter of an episode, and we should get this up pretty soon, either today or tomorrow. I know, obviously, we're a little bit off from getting it up on Thursdays, but we should have it up today, being Friday, or at least Saturday in the morning. The last thing we're going to be talking about today, specifically the strength of characters in One Piece. We might talk a little bit about other animes and the strength of characters, but I think for now we'll do mainly One Piece characters, who we think may be the strongest. The reason I kind of brought this up, and I don't want to spoil a lot, because my brother is a little bit behind me in the anime right now.
Not by much.
Not by much, maybe like 10, 20 episodes.
Yeah.
Maybe 10. The last thing you talked about or you've seen was Kobe's involvement with Garp and Kuzan and those specifically. Yes. I'm specifically a little bit of ahead, with Luffy and Kizaru fighting, Sentomaru, Vegapunk, all these people are involved. Right now, we kind of just get the first glimpse. And from my perspective, the manga probably has it a little bit further up. but the first glimpse of an elder, one of the five elders, and their kind of combat skills and everything else. So I guess that kind of brought this idea out, saying, oh, how actually strong are the five elders? How strong are they stronger maybe than the emperors?
The only thing I'll say about the five elders, and it's not to spoil too much, is that I'm pretty sure that the elders are Zoan users, in which they can transform into animals or they transform into large beasts. Again, I don't know that to be factual, but if that is the case, they could be extremely strong, because we've seen that with not only Kaido, but we've seen it with a lot of strong characters. Queen, all these ones who have these not close to mythical beasts who can develop the entire screen and are just giant animals. If that's the case with these elders, I mean, they could be up there in strength with Kaido, and we know that Luffy had a real tough time in that. And again, I'm not spoiling too much, but Kaido,
we already kind of spoiled a few episodes ago, Luffy had a tough battle. Obviously, he comes back with Gear 5, and that's kind of how he wins, but without that, I don't know if he would have.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I might be a Zoan. I don't know the whole backstory of the elders. You know, I know a little bit. Obviously,
I've only seen some images online that someone had posted that looked as though they were Zoan users.
They were some sort of, I will say this, the last thing that I saw,
like almost like a woolly mammoth or
kind of.
I don't even know.
It's not like Jack, who actually is like a woolly mammoth.
You're right. No,
but it's like some sort of, it's going to spoil a little bit, but it's some sort of spider creature.
Yeah.
And it's this guy, Jay Garcia Saturn. He's like one of the five elders. He's the guy I showed you earlier in the picture.
Jay Garcia Saturn is his name?
Yes, it's his name, Jay Garcia Saturn.
Interesting. Oda has his way with character names, for sure.
Each of the elders, I think, have a last name of a planet.
Interesting.
Like something Mercury is the next guy he's supposed to show up on Egghead. But specifically, we know that what was interesting to me was all the Straw Hats, especially Chopper and some of the... So especially with Chopper. Is Chopper essentially a Zoan or not really? No, he's not. I'm trying to remember exactly. Because he was the one who... Him and Jinbei, specifically those two, were both like this feeling that someone's here, this power. Like somebody who has some sort of power. Like a lot of the Straw Hats were like scared at the power of the Elder. Just showed up out of nowhere. He was creating tsunamis and stuff. At first, I thought it was going to be Emu or whatever this person's character is. What's the name of it?
Emu.
The one that we've seen a little bit in the backstory leading up to this.
But just his cape or the back or her. I don't know.
Yeah. We saw what this person, this figure did to that one. Wasn't Sabaody or what was it? They completely demolished an island, remember?
Yeah.
There was like hurricanes and a giant hole and all of that.
Yes.
There was like a small little backstory on this sort of figure. And I'm like, what is going on? Somehow they're involved with the five elders. At first I thought Emu was showing up there. But I guess it was Jay Garcia. Maybe he has the ability of changing weather as well. But then he also just randomly shows up and becomes this creature. I don't know. There's a lot. Probably the manga would explain a little bit more of the backstory maybe. And the anime might. I'm going to go home tonight and maybe watch a little bit more and maybe even catch up to where the dub is completely stopping. Yeah. But I thought that was crazy how powerful he was, because when he's sitting in a chair with the other elders, he doesn't seem that powerful.
Yeah.
You know?
That is crazy. What we'll do, though, now, I think that's something to take away from, and I'll have to get caught up with you so we can talk more about it. But we're going to start off with, like, I'm going to present a character, and you're just going to tell me who you think could beat that character in a fight. And then we'll do who can beat that character or who can beat the next character. We'll just go down the line of who can beat who.
Okay.
So first, I'm going to throw out a random character that I remember very much from Dressrosa called Lao G. Okay? He's like an older dude that just said, G!
Yeah, Lao G.
And he was fairly weak, but he had a very strong power where he could just make his muscles huge.
You know who
could
beat him? Don Chinzhao.
Don Chinzhao. Well,
I'm kidding.
Who do you
I'll
think,
give you a better
give
one.
Maybe from a different arc, who do you think trounces Lao G? Like, who do you think just completely obliterates the dude that you think is in terms of strength and ability and whatever?
I think one character specifically that would probably destroy him pretty easily would have to be Monkey D. Dragon.
Yeah, easily. We still don't know too much about him, but yeah, we could make the case that
I would say a lot of the people within the Revolutionary Army I mean, we've seen a little bits and pieces. I would think even Sabo would be able to be
there. Yeah.
He kind of was a part of
Dressrosa. Well, Lao Ji is a very... he's like the base character of kind of being weak. We had to start somewhere
small. Okay, let me think of someone a little more small. We had to start someone
very, very small.
Let me think of someone really small. I would say... I think Brooke might be able to beat him.
Okay.
In a fight.
I think that too.
I think...
Who actually beats him? I forget. Who actually beats Lao Ji? You want to look that up real quick?
Yeah, I'll look it up.
Who beats
him?
Was
it Don Chinzhao? I'll look.
I don't think so. Okay, Brooke then. I'm going to try to see. Brooke, as far as his power in the Straw Hat crew.
Sai? It was Sai. It's the one guy, I think, who has like... Let me see. This guy. Remember him?
Oh, yeah, he was weak too.
Yeah, okay, he's pretty weak.
Lao Ji was extremely weak then, even with his like super G power.
Yeah.
Like he was still very, very weak.
Okay. Senior Pink.
Who could beat him? Who could, this one, I'll do this one. Who could beat Brooke? Brooke is very strong, but we know that there are a lot of people who are stronger. And this is going to be a hot take, but. Brooke would get trounced by Ors. The giant from Thriller Bark. Ors Jr. would trounce Brooke. Ors or Ors Jr. would trounce Brooke. And I don't think it would be much of a contest. However, Brooke, again, has what many think to be unlimited life. And he's extremely strong. He can come back from a lot. And he is very powerful with his sword and with his abilities. So, I mean, I don't think he would be completely stepped on and crushed by Ors or Ors Jr. But, I mean, those guys are literal giants. I do not think that either of them would lose to Brook at all.
Yeah.
I mean, Luffy did take Ors him down.
Ors would probably beat Brook, right? Is what you're saying? Easily.
Oh, Ors would beat Luffy.
No way. I mean, Luffy now, took him anyways, down, can't happen. Ors. You know, I was going to say, I guess, Ors, if you're going to say who would beat him specifically. I mean, you could easily put Kaido or Big Mom, obviously, as one of those giant-type characters that would destroy him. Yeah, I guess I would have to say... I think Kaido is honestly a little bit weaker. I guess, I don't know, it's hard. I would say Big Mom might be even weaker than Kaido. Mm-hmm. And somehow, Kaido was able to lose to Luffy. So I think both of them... ultimately would lose to Luffy, but we have kind of characters like Marshall D. Teach and Akainu, characters we aren't really sure how they might fight against Luffy. We have some characters that might beat Luffy just because of some of their attributes, you know, and how it's effective towards rubber people and stuff, you know. So it's kind of hard.
I would hate to go in this direction, but I think a really solid pick for beating Big Mom, if that's who you're going with.
Sure, Big Mom.
Probably... I mean, it's a stretch. I think it'd be a really big task for Marco.
Okay.
The Phoenix.
That'd be a crazy fight.
And they might even have
Didn't even really do that good against Queen, didn't he?
Well, Marco actually didn't he go up against Big Mom's kids and just completely like wipe the floor with them?
He did, but he also had his moments when in the jail.
You're right.
He was in the jail specifically with Luffy.
But now Marco is stronger. He has, I think, full control of his abilities. He's still weak, but I mean... And yes, Big Mom was a Yonko. She was very strong. But I don't know. I think it'd be a close fight. And with Marco, he has regeneration. So he can just continue to heal himself and continue to be in a good spot. That kind of leaves it open and easy for you.
Marco.
Who could beat Marco?
Yeah, this one's a good one. What am I thinking? You know who... I don't remember the name of the character, but I would love to see that fight. Marco versus the Revolutionary Army's... it's not Morley, that's the big guy, but it's the other Hawk guy from the Revolutionary Army. I need to look up
Pell?
His name. Was it Pell?
Pell was like the... That was a... No way that would be a good fight. Pell is like the one who died in Alabasta, or didn't die.
Blanking on the name. I'm looking it up.
Yeah. Either way, I think, you know, that if it's bird-on-bird action...
Karasu.
Karasu. I'm going to have to look at a picture of this. Oh, yeah.
I would have liked... I want to see them fight in a battle.
Do we know how strong he is, though?
I don't know. I would say he's pretty strong. He's a high member of the army.
Interesting. And then I think we'll do one more. We'll see. Since you're picking Karasu, I mean, we'll just go at I'll just pick the Jay Garcia.
Obviously.
I mean, there's no way that anyone right now has that strength.
I mean, I will say I asked ChatGPT earlier.
Luffy.
And they said Luffy Gear 5 probably is stronger. But we don't know for sure. I mean, Luffy might even fight him. I haven't seen it yet, but he might fight him soon or after he's done with Kizaru, or maybe him and Kizaru both team up against... It doesn't make sense because obviously Kizaru's working for the Elders,
yeah.
But maybe him showing up there himself turns Kizaru some type of way and Kizaru then attacks one of the Elders. But the Elder seems very strong, and obviously everyone involved on the island is like, who is this person? Vegapunk, everybody's like, this is one of the Elders. They took control of the Pacifistas because they're the only people who have the ability over Vegapunk. So literally he shows up, takes over the Pacifistas. Bonnie, last thing I saw literally is Bonnie going at him, like saying, because he was so mad because the Elders were the ones originally who wanted Kuma to have no free will.
The other thing is there's a huge Kuma backstory that we're about to both get into,
yeah.
Which once we watch that, which I've heard is super emotional and super crazy,
yeah.
We'll definitely have to talk about it. But to end, appreciate those who stuck around and listened. We really appreciate it. Next week, we're going to do our best to have another person come on the podcast with us, one of our close friends who is actually an animator, and he's done a lot of animations, one being with an animation team that did Rurouni Kenshin, the Japanese, the new one, which is awesome. So it's going to be great to have someone on the podcast who is an animator, who has a lot of experience in the business, and also does his own animations too. So we're really excited to get him on.
We'll
if
hype
he's
up
still
his,
able,
his inst-
if he's
Instagram
still able
and other things, just like... He's one of our closest friends. Really cool to have someone in the industry. That's something we actually like talking about. So that being said, just want to say thank you guys for watching today. Like I said, we'll try to get the next episode up next Thursday, about a week from today. Otherwise, we will see you next time, okay? Thank you.